Okay, everyone, please take a seat. So I would like our interpreter. Hola. I would like you to make an announcement in Spanish that if we have anyone who still has a speaker card for item 17, this is the time to submit it because we had a late one that just came because the person did not understand the requirement.
Dice que si quiere alguien más hablar de este tema del CONSLU o del punto 17, hacer algún comentario a la Junta, que ahora es el momento de llenar esa tarjeta con el nombre y entregársela acá al jefe de la Junta para poder hacer su comentario de 3 minutos, que ahora es la última oportunidad.
Thank you. And I'm going to be asking for Francisco Rocha to come to the podium, the speaker card. If translation is needed, you can provide that assistance at the podium. And it'll be 3 minutes. But we'll double as previously discussed. So it's, you know, officially 3, but times 2.
Buenos días, soy Francisco Rocha, más que vengo a decir algo del rancho.
Could you, we need for trans, you know, he speaks a sentence and then you give a translation. Thank you.
I'm Francisco Rocha and I come here today to say something about my ranch.
Y vengo a pedir... A ver si me podrían dar una oportunidad de que me volvieran a mandar los papeles. Es que yo no sé inglés y no pude contestar las cartas.
I'm coming here to ask for a second opportunity. I'm asking you to submit the paperwork back again to me for the second time because I only speak Spanish, so I wasn't able to read the letters.
No sé qué decir. Pues hemos estado haciendo todo lo posible. El rancho ahorita está muy cuidado. El año pasado no pudimos porque fue muchísimo el agua. No supimos cómo controlarla.
Now we are doing the best we can. We are really taking very good care of the ranch. Last year we couldn't do it because it was a lot of water. That we received.
Si me pudieran dar la oportunidad de poder seguir trabajando.
Please give me a second chance to keep working.
Porque pues no sé hacer otra cosa más que eso de las fresas.
Because I don't know to do anything else other than growing strawberries.
Gracias.
Thank you. The next request, which was a late request, so I'm going to take it next because it appears that it was also a language issue. So if we need translation, you know, you'll need to come back to the podium, is for Alvaro Gonzalez. I'll see if he needs... do you need translation, sir?
My name is Alvaro Gonzalez. I'm a 50% owner of the property that is in question. It's kind of a difficult situation. Obviously, it was hard to handle the situation that happened last winter. And also, it's hard for us to be here. You know, it's kind of one thing that we usually don't do as a growers. Kind of we feel like a criminal sometimes when we are here. But in reality, we work hard every day. And I just want to tell you that we're doing as much as we can. We don't understand sometimes, you know, how the requirements, you know, should be put them in place. Sometimes, you know, the language, the terminology is like a lawyer terminology, and it's hard for growers to understand, right? So but I'm just going to say thank you to the people that have been, you know, calling us and asking us for things. You know, seems to be that we are working with them. We would like to continue improving more things in our ranches. I think we have been doing more things than the things that the water board have been reporting. Because, you know, we work every day, sometimes since very early in the morning. And we do a lot of things. I bought this property 2013. Then I cannot respond before that. I can respond since then. So it was an old man who sold the property because he lost most of the money that he saved in his life for 40 years owning that property. And it was sad. And I bought it, and it seems to be that I'm walking the same way. The agricultural industry is hard, you know. So I'm just want to say that we're open to work with everybody to see if it's possible to save the agricultural and continue hiring people, producing food, and with the best practices. So that's what we'd like to do. And I would like to say thank you to everybody. Thank you for this opportunity to talk at the last minute, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome. And let me ask you a clarification. Which particular farm are you
from? Glass Farm, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much. Next speaker card is for Sara Lopez. 3 minutes.
Thank you, Chairman Wolf. I'm Sara Lopez with Preservation, Inc. We manage the cooperative monitoring program for ag order compliance. And first of all, I just wanted to say that I think your staff have correctly identified a problem here, so I don't mean for my comments to minimize that. But that said, I wanted to provide some perspective on sediment discharges from berry operations and on turbidity and sediment loading throughout ag areas of the Central Coast in general. Berries of all kinds are primarily drip irrigated, and runoff is not the norm. I'll just slow down for a moment to the translator. When runoff does occur, it's in major storms and presumably on isolated occasions when there is an agronomic need to sprinkle irrigate a field and there is runoff from that field. I think those are isolated occasions. The CMP collects 12 samples per year, and I concur with staff selection of a 1-inch rain event as something that would be not uncommon for Monterey County. That said, I will let you know that I struggle every single year to target 2 half-inch rain events to meet the CMP's rain monitoring requirement. So a half-inch, a 1-inch rain is not uncommon, but it's also not a frequent occurrence. And even in a wet year, discharges like the ones showcased here are not the norm. I actually live about 2 miles from both of the cases that were showcased here today, and I was personally without power and water for 8 days because of that storm. I think PG&E was really struggling to get their arms around this one. So it's not surprising to me that some growers had trouble with it as well. I also wanted to let you know, finally, that the CMP is nearing completion on a new trend analysis and that both turbidity and sediment loading are down region-wide. These are statistically significant trends, and in particular, we're seeing them in Santa Maria.
Could you slow down?
I'm sorry. So in particular, we're seeing them in Santa Maria, which is one of the regions cited as having increased land in strawberry production. So thank you. I just wanted to provide that information to the discussion.
Sarah, I'm sorry. Can you repeat the last part of what you stated? With the pause, I lost the connection.
Sorry.
That's okay.
So we're completing a new trend analysis on CMP data from 2005 through the present and across the region. So in all ag areas of the Central Coast, we're seeing statistically significant declining trends in both turbidity, which is a proxy for sediment concentration in the water, and also sediment loading, which would be sort of pounds of eroded soil in the water. And that's based on flows as well. So we're seeing those trends across the region, and we're seeing a lot of them in Santa Maria, which was one of the areas cited as having increased strawberry production. So on a big spatial scale, I would say that we're not seeing a correlation between berry operations and increased sediment in downstream water bodies.
Thank you. Yep. Next is Kay Mercer.
Good morning, Board. Thank you for allowing me to speak on this issue. I've been before you a couple of times talking about sediment management and the development of PAM. I just kind of wanted to do a bit of a update.
Just as
on
a reminder to slow down, which is, I think, more effective than pausing in between, if you don't mind. And if you spill a little bit over the 3 minutes, no worries.
And say your name.
And state your name. Thank
Mercer.
You.
Mercer. All right, with KMI. So I wanted to talk a little bit, provide an update on PAM. And basically what we've been doing is three-pronged approach. One is research, and UC Cooperative Extension is working with the California Leafy Green Board to obtain funding for some additional PAM research. The research will largely focus on the application through irrigation systems. It is put on the field. It basically, what happens if there is tailwater, the PAM is a very large molecule which attaches to the sediment and drops it out. You have clean water, and very quickly, research has shown that it is 90 to 99% effective at sediment reduction. The second thing we're doing are field trials. I have a client that's putting on 3 5-acre field trials with irrigation injection. This year, we wanted to put dry material on the field prior to planting, but because of the drought, that didn't happen. So the third thing is, over the course of the past 10 years, PAM was looked at very early on, back in about 10 years ago. But over the course of the past 10 years, one company has purchased all of the PAM manufacturers in the world. That company is SNF. And we are working with them, the major manufacturer. They have a technical rep that is working with us and their dealers, to provide more technical information and outreach to growers. The technical rep for SNF will be making a presentation to growers in February 23rd, through a Grower Shipper Association. So those are some of the things that we've been working on. We are also working with manufacturers of the pesticides that are sediment loaded, and letting them know of our efforts and asking for assistance, financial assistance from them. Thank you.
Thank you, Kay. Next speaker, Mr. Kirk Schmidt.
Good morning again, Chairman Wolf, members of the board. I'm here as a farmer, not as Preservation Inc. on this item. The property immediately north of the Vasquez property was subject to extensive erosion during El Nino in 2000. The Nature Conservancy had purchased the property immediately prior to that. After it was restored.
Thank you.
I apologize. It's
no,
very important.
No worries. And like I said, if you spill a little bit over time, totally fine.
It was restored, my company, Quail Mountain, was invited to farm the property, which we did for several years, with plastic mulching. After we took over the property, there was no sediment erosion at all, to the extent that the retention basins that we put into the property as part of a best management plan were not even used. It's very sandy soil out there, and if you can slow the water down, it all goes into the soil. Uniquely in this part of Monterey County, much of the land that is highly erosive has been acquired by the Elkhorn Foundation, and in the most instances, it has been taken out of production. But the Elkhorn Foundation does rent parts of their property to farmers who continue to farm it, who are able to have good management practices so that there is no longer an erosion problem. So it is not necessarily the existence or use of plastic that causes the problem. It's the necessary follow-up for best management practices that is required. Indeed, after the storm in February that you've heard about, I flew over the two parcels, that is, the Vasquez parcel and the property to the north, the Bloom Ranch, which is now being farmed by an organic strawberry farmer. None of the plastic had been dislodged, and there was no sign of erosion at all on that property. So it's true that plastic can do a bad job if not well maintained. It is not true that plastic by and of itself is evil. It just requires a higher level of management. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Next, Ms. Laura Brown, 3 minutes. And again, as a reminder, we speak slowly.
We'll do our best. Good morning. My name is Laura Brown. I work for the California Strawberry Commission, our public policy department. The commission represents our state's growers, shippers, and processors. California Strawberry Commission supports action to maintain our wetlands. While most of California's wetlands have been lost to development, the Central Coast has been able to preserve important wetland habitat. During the process of learning about an erosion issue scheduled for today's board meeting, we discovered some missed opportunities to enhance collaboration that may have more quickly resolved this issue. More specifically, the California Strawberry Commission has volunteered several bilingual staff to be listed as technical support assistance providers for the Water Board, which is listed on your website. Unfortunately, we were never contacted. The staff report indicates that multiple attempts were made to contact the grower unsuccessfully over the past year. In the 5 days since we received the staff report, we've been able to meet with the grower in person twice, explain the staff report, and encourage the grower to attend this Water Board meeting. We offer no comment on the specific incident, but we support full compliance with erosion control. But we do not feel that this incident highlights several missed opportunities by the Water Board to outreach with agriculture in a collaborative way. We renew our commitment and interest to work with all the Water Board staff in a collaborative ways and hope that the staff will in turn Remember to utilize the commission as a resource in the future. The missed opportunities that have taken place should not be repeated if it is our goal to truly educate stakeholders and preserve our environment. Thank you.
Thank you. And last speaker card on this item 17, Mr. Shimmick.
Thank you. Steve Shimmick, the Otter Project in Monterey Coast Keeper. First of all, I want to suggest to you, well, state that this is not just a heavy rain issue. Even during the drought along Castroville Boulevard, we had a large spill coming, or sedimentation coming off a hill, steep hillside that was being actively farmed. So to say, well, it's just a one-off because of the drought is, or because of the heavy rainfall, is not necessarily always true. I cannot speak to this particular event. Second, I do have to react a little bit to the comment that just was made. This is not a problem of the regional board having, you know, not contacted the commission. That's not the regional board's role. The regional board should be, you know, working with the grower, and the grower should be seeking assistance to the Strawberry Commission. That said, I do believe that the Strawberry Commission can be an incredibly, I have personal experience, that the Strawberry Commission can be a strong partner and could help resolve this issue. And I would hope that the commission would be given the chance to partner with these two farms and help bring these farms to compliance. I would like to spend my remaining time talking about how the ag order could be improved to cover some of these issues. One, the basin plan needs to be improved. The basin plan, as I've brought up in the past, and several people have, has very vague language as to vegetated buffers. It does have a vegetated buffer limit, but it's vague in its language and its applicability to agriculture. That needs to be improved. Two, perhaps there needs to be mitigation measures for impermeable surfaces. Three, the annual reports, there could be additional BMPs reporting if there is a grower growing or discharging onto steep slopes. In other words, right now you have a list of BMPs, but maybe in certain circumstances additional BMPs are perhaps needed given certain situations. And finally, there should be no down-tiering of crops that are being grown on impermeable surfaces. As has been stated even by the growers here today, there are additional challenges and additional maintenance requirements when there are impermeable surfaces involved. There is no question that you have increased erosion velocities when you have, you know, a great proportion of your water raining down on an impermeable surface. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. So that concludes our speaker card. So now I'd like to open this item to questions, clarification that our my fellow board members have, and I'm assuming that Ms. Jar is going to remind us of the fact that we cannot delve into a lot of details associated with this matter. You're welcome to say it in more legalese terms if you like.
You already know what I'm going to say. Just a reminder that this is an informational item, so please keep your questions generally. We are not looking at any potential enforcement action today, and so I don't want us to be prejudging or creating a bias in any future action.
Thank you for the reminder. So, questions? I have a couple of questions. When staff went to the Rotary Farm, and you were not provided access because of fumigation which took place? And was there posting of such a prohibited entry?
No, we did not observe that. We did observe a fumigation company truck leaving the property while we were waiting for the landowners and Mr. Rocha to arrive.
Okay. Just curious because Ag Commissioner and DPR, Department of Pest Regulation requirements, are the posting of bilingual signs when such activity takes place. And then my other just more general question was the property of the Rocha Farm property. Is that property a full member of the Strawberry Commission or because you know you made statements about the close collaboration?
Just a little background on the logistics of the Strawberry Commission. It's a state-run commission, so technically mm-hmm. we are government employees. And so, therefore, every grower that technically produces strawberries is paying an assessment mandatory through the state. And so we get a couple cents per box, and it usually comes through the shipper. And then growers that are affiliated with the shippers would make their payments that way. So there are instances, say, a 5-acre farmer's market stand that we wouldn't really have an easy way of collecting assessments from, but majority of strawberry growers, especially here on the Central Coast, have relationships with shippers who they sell their produce to, and that is how we have a database of every single grower in the state.
Thank you for that clarification. Mr. Robinson?
Ms. Brown, could I ask a couple questions? You made mention that that the Water Board missed some opportunities. I want to explore where we all might have missed some opportunities. What role do you see the Strawberry Commission having with respect to working with growers in a more proactive way than waiting on us to give you a call? Because I think that's how the Strawberry Commission came to be involved in this case. What role do you see for the Strawberry Commission?
Might be a two-part answer to this one. We have a pretty significant research staff that is dedicated towards all efforts that we have in growing strawberries, including water quality. And we have an education team that has put together education workshops and trainings and certifications for growers as they work through irrigation practices. And this is an issue that we have also been addressing. Something very easily that could have been changed is that when this issue was put up for public comment, what would that be, in beginning of January or December? I believe it was January 5th or so, and it was made public, but only to, quote, interested parties. And I would like to be on the list of interested parties whenever there are cases like this regarding a strawberry grower. Instead of finding out about it when your agenda for the board meeting was made public towards the end of a couple weeks ago.
So what level of communication do you have with the growers such that they can have that conversation with you, too?
As much as necessary.
It seems like it broke down here, though. I mean, you externalize the responsibility onto the Water Board, but I think we collectively, the three parties, have a responsibility. How can we improve that is kind of the gist of my question.
Well, I'm pretty sure that in the future that some of the growers in the area will be aware of the fact that they can reach out to the Strawberry Commission.
Okay. And then is the Strawberry Commission then also... In this case, had you reached out prior to our notifying you to Mr. Rocha, or had he reached out to you?
No, we found out about it when the board meeting agenda was made public.
Okay, so Mayor Delgado?
I have a follow-up to what's just been discussed. when you drive Elkhorn Road in this vicinity that these farms are, and you drive other places too that have a lot of strawberries on sandy soils like beach sand that has blown in historically in the long distant future past, and these are steep sandy soils, and you drive by and it just looks like a disaster waiting to happen. Not just where these farms were, but on the same road there are other farms where these open sandy slopes are heavily tilled right down to the riparian zone, and the riparian zone looks more like just a sandy ditch with a few plants in it, but not real riparian vegetation. So I don't want to really poke the bear, but the bear seems like this landscape culture of strawberries on steep sandy slopes that appear quite improperly protected from sediment erosion. And if the Strawberry Commission is much more aware than I about strawberry cultivation, this can't all be news, what we're discussing today, to the experts. It may be news to me because I'm not very familiar with erosion incidents such as this. I mean, I'm aware of this one for many months, but I can't recall another heavy erosion event that came to our board while I've been here. So my overall point is, in the future, can the Strawberry Commission kind of educate our board on what looks like a disaster to me waiting to happen in so many locations really isn't because of X, Y, and Z? Like, really all of those fields, those slopes have good sediment basements, good sediment basins. Really, there's a good farm plan for most of those. But in this case, at least with the La Rocha farm, no farm plan. You know, the list is long. And so if the Strawberry Commission has relations with the strawberry farmers, how can such a long list of talk about missed opportunities, how can such a long list of missing components go on if there's a commission receiving money from growers and growers not having a clue about how to get help to interpret the language so they know what they're supposed to do? So it just seems like there's a big issue here. And I'm sorry if I've been venting, whatever, but thank you, everyone. My other question, I forgot, so I'll spare you that one.
Mr. Delgado, we'd be happy to bring you out on a tour. I think that education goes both ways, and we've been working with Chris Rose on a separate project, and I think the more communication that happens going both ways will be to the betterment of all.
Great. So I think the best field trip for me would be to visit with you some of the places that, to the lay strawberry person, such as immediately down road from where this slip happened, just looks like it's not well. Sorry. Okay. I have some ideas of where we can make a field trip, and I'd love to visit those with you. Thank you.
Okay, so...
I remember my other question, and this is really important. So another government agency, named the Transportation Agency of Monterey County, did address this road failure and the road fix, and they said it was a bombogenesis. They did not mention failure for the county road department, public works, to maintain the road. They did not mention agriculture. They said it was due to bombogenesis, and that is a meteorological term for an intense storm system. What role does our staff think, and maybe this is going too far, don't answer the question if it's going too far, but what role does extreme weather play in this? I'm asking staff.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Okay.
My concern, you know, because it's maybe it's a defense or something like that. Maybe it's something that plays into what happened or what didn't happen. And I don't know. Maybe the question should be more generalized as to how the staff considers extreme storm events.
Right. So my comment will just be that there are two government agencies. The Regional Water Board, maybe three, the County Public Works and the Transport Agency, Monterey County, that gives a lot of money for road projects, transportation projects and roads that don't seem to be on the same page. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. So let to stay focused, I'd like next Mr. Johnson and then Dr. Hunter, you still had a question or comment. So let's, and that way I'm finishing on this side. And then we'll have. All right.
Thank you, Dr. Wolf. Okay, I have a whole number of things kind of going down the list here.
Thank you, Ms. Brown.
Thank you.
First, a question for staff. Is it a problem to, when we have things going out for comment, like this draft cleanup and abatement order, by definition, at the request of the Strawberry Commission, to say if it concerns a strawberry or presumably bushberry, I think they cover that as well, grower, that they'll be added as an interested party?
I think that actually that's a conversation we had internally in the last couple of weeks, was not just exclusive to to strawberries, but commodities. You know, let's better utilize commodity groups to help out in the lift that we're trying to do, whatever
okay.
the lift
so
is.
So that doesn't sound like here. The request that the Strawberry Commission was making was a problem.
So I'll also context or follow up with that has a reactive bias to it. Okay, so what we're talking about is a reactive thing. I also want us to consciously shift into a proactive strategy, too. We don't want to be issuing CAOs. We want to be having well-managed strawberry farms, for example.
Yep.
And I'm gonna thieve from Mr. Schmidt, who said plastic is not evil. I'm paraphrasing. Plastic is not evil. Just requires better management. I think that's it. You know, that we're not asserting judgment on plastic. It's just there's some scenarios where it gets really challenging to manage. We have to be more aggressive in the management on those places where we have highly erosive soils, slopes, and plastic.
I agree, and it would also seem appropriate for the Strawberry Commission to be doing some aggressive outreach with their growers. It's not very hard to figure out which growing regions have the steep slopes, and to do workshops, make materials available in Spanish and English on such questions as sediment basin design, which sounds like somewhat of a mystery to some folks, and there certainly are resources out there. It would seem appropriate in their role as a commodity state funded grower funded state mandated commodity organization committed to clean water. The next question I had was in the and I'm kind of bouncing around here, I know, in the general presentation on erosion, there was some discussion of hoop houses, which we're seeing actually not just even in bushberries. There's stuff here in Watsonville. There is other stuff being grown under hoop houses as well. That's not berries at all. It is a very new and exploding phenomenon, and clearly poses a whole different set of challenges. Whether it's on sloped land or not, it's a sort of a different beast than plastic mulch. I'm just wondering, as staff express that they're really trying to figure out how to deal with that in as they work on 4.0. I'm just wondering if there are some of these commissions or commodity associations that are in areas that are using this that staff can be working with on this, because I think there's some tendency of us to promulgate rules and them to be reactive to those rules, and to the extent that we can have them up front trying to help figure out the best practices, I think that's helpful. We sort of shortcut the process. That's just a comment. It doesn't need a response. A note I wanted to make was when I looked at slide 19, which is the picture of the one of the two berry farms, the steeper of the two, I don't recall the name, Rocha, I guess, on the day of the October 24th site visit, and the farm had been fumigated, was the statement. I didn't see any, looked like we could see the whole slope with no plastic. I kind of wondered, but seeing a truck leaving, okay, that I buy that. Finally, and I mentioned this yesterday in my board member report. I note that when this complaint first came to us, we right after this storm event, we had the head of the Elkhorn Slough Foundation come to our board meeting, which happened to be in Watsonville, and talk about this big event that had happened, and actually cut off some of the access to their site. And I mentioned it at the time. These sorts of situations seem to be an opportunity for us to have a different relationship with the counties than we normally have. Normally, particularly the roads departments of the counties, were the regulators telling them all the mitigation they need to do when they're going to fix a culvert or a washout or a bridge, and they're the ones arguing about what they need to do. And these sorts of situations where there is ag erosion affecting county roads, and we have real enforcement leverage and they do not, seem to be a real opportunity for us to have a different relationship with the county and with various counties. And I think this is important because in all sorts of different areas, cannabis is a wholly different example. The counties have much going on that overlaps with us, but there isn't necessarily communication in terms of their permitting, their law enforcement, all of that. So this seems to be, when these things come along, an opportunity to look for ways to have a different relationship than that regulator-regulated relationship. And as I mentioned in my board member report, I had some discussion before this meeting with Santa Cruz County, which has some issues with ag sediment onto roads, and I think they're going to end up talking to staff about those issues and about how we might be able to work together on it and maybe come back to the board at a later point. But I was kind of wondering why in the first multi-agency site visit in March, county wasn't there. The most visible expressions of this erosion event were a bunch of sediment going into the slough, and these huge washouts and blockage of a county road that was between the fields and the slough. So I'm kind of wondering why, and we had actually discussed that at the February board meeting. So I'm kind of wondering why, I noted that county was there in the second October site visit. Why weren't they there in March? Had we invited them and they were unavailable, or?
I came into the case post first site visit, and so I can't answer that question. It's possible that they just couldn't make that particular date. I don't think it was an exclusionary thing. I'm pretty sure that there was communications with the county from the very beginning.
Okay, that's good to hear. I'm just looking to see if I've covered my list. The last question I had, you know, I'm aware of the sensitivity of discussing any particulars of a case that is potentially an enforcement case. I followed the presentation. I heard the landowner and operators' comments. I'm just curious, in a general sense, not in a specific sense, as to, okay, so in one of these cases we've issued a cleanup and abatement order, and I guess in the other one we're still processing and deciding what's next. When we issue a cleanup and abatement order in this kind of case, sort of what typically follows? What happens next? What are the various possible directions that could go? And once again, I'm expecting a general answer rather than something specific to the Rocha case where we have issued a cleanup and abatement order. But I just want to understand it better.
Okay, so first for clarity,
might be useful for the party here to understand it better too.
First for clarification, there, the cleanup and abatement order is only out in draft at this time. It has not been issued, and I have not reviewed it at this point in time either. Now I'm going to speak in more general terms. Typically, a cleanup and abatement order requires submittal of a plan to abate whatever the threat or pollutant is, and then oftentimes will also include a requirement for implementation of the approved plan once the plan achieves a satisfactory level of inclusion or content.
So if I understand correctly, this is a draft cleanup and abatement order, although the period to comment on it has passed. I'm getting into specifics. Okay. If I understand correctly, when we issue a cleanup and abatement order, once it makes it past the comment period, the executive officer reviews it, and then the executive officer issues it or doesn't issue it in some form or amended form. And then the next step is that the whoever the cleanup and abatement order is directed to submits a plan back to us, is that correct, or works with us to develop a plan?
Typically develops a plan, submits it to us. There's typically some back and forth.
So that's something that sometimes we have conversation with them as they develop the plan, right, to help them figure out what works for us in a plan.
Right, exactly, to demystify the process a little bit, of the process of approval or expectation of what should be in the plan.
Okay.
Because you can't oftentimes write all of the expectations into the cleanup and abatement order.
Okay.
And then at that point, there's typically also a requirement, not always, but oftentimes a requirement to implement that plan by a date certain, post-approval date certain. Let's say that the plan is approved on February 28th. The anticipated implementation might be 30, 60, or 90 days after that, depending on what the plan is going to implement, level of sophistication.
So when we issue a cleanup and abatement order, one direction it can take is that the board and the discharger, the discharger works with the board or on their own to come up with a plan to fix what the cleanup and abatement order is addressing, and then that gets implemented, and the problem gets fixed, and everybody moves on. That's one potential direction, right? And presumably the other potential direction with a cleanup and abatement order is either the party doesn't come up with a plan to fix it that is acceptable to the board, in which case it could move to some sort of enforcement or fines. or the party comes up with a plan and then doesn't carry through on it, in which case it could come up, it could end up with some sort of enforcement or fines. Is that a pretty good summary? Thank you. That helps.
Okay, so Dr. Hunter was waiting patiently from earlier on, and then I think you have a question.
Thank you. Yeah, I have a couple of questions for staff. In the report, in the staff report, this is just for clarity so that I understand what it refers to. Page 2 of the table, November 1, for the Glees Farms, it's noted that their attorney submitted, or was it Monterey County attorney, submitted Monterey County permit file for 1995 sediment basins. What does that mean?
So one of the requirements in the notice of violation was to submit their sediment basin design plans, and they were working with the county, the discharger was working with the county to try to obtain that permitting for the that also included the design plans. And it's my understanding the reason for that was, as Mr. Gonzalez indicated, he just purchased the property in 2013, so he did not have those records.
Okay, that helps. Then, just as a matter of information, dealing with bilingual issues, what is the standard language in an NOV that would provide additional options for communication given language issues? And I'm not just speaking about Spanish. I know we have Chinese, we have Hmong, we have else, what other language? I mean, we have a number of languages. So what is the, is there language in that other, those other multiple languages included in a standard NOV notice?
Yes, actually for Chinese and for Spanish. The other languages, to my knowledge, no.
Can you tell me what that what the statement might be?
It basically says if you need help in Spanish, call, and then it gives Monica's number.
Okay.
And that's included, and it has a similar statement in Chinese.
In Chinese.
Of course, in this instance, staff didn't use the Chinese because we knew that we were dealing with Spanish speakers. But I should say also that Monica was initially involved in this case, and so they definitely had someone available to speak with them in Spanish. I speak okay Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Vasquez's daughter, Maria Vasquez, volunteered to be sort of the designated interpreter, and the communications that we sent after the second site visit, she was included in all of those.
And that's the Glees farm?
No, that's Francisco Rocha.
Oh, okay. All right, very good.
And the Glees Farms, the folks at Glees Farms, as you can see, they speak English. They never requested any assistance. And they've had an English-speaking attorney involved since the beginning.
Okay. All right. So really the language issue has just been on the Rocha side.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. And then I just want to comment, and I don't, you're welcome to come back to the podium, Ms. Brown. I'm really happy to see you here. But I'm really surprised. I was surprised, taken aback by your comment, and that for some reason or set of reasons, you were uninformed on this issue and felt that the regional board had some responsibility. But I look at the whole situation, which began in February. This was discussed by the board at a March hearing, and California Department of Fish and Wildlife, Monterey County Public Works, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and the Natural Resources Conservation Service were all present in different ways and coordinating in different ways. So I'm curious what your staff relationship is with these other agencies who also have jurisdiction and authority and technical oversight. And so I'm really struggling to understand why you have come here today to tell us you only found out 5 days ago. And I'm curious, do you have regional staffing? Do you only have one office? And this office is not located in an area where you would have been aware of, because this incident was so prominent in that neighborhood, in the region. It was a focus and discussion of significance. The road was closed for weeks. The access to Elkhorn Slough has never been reopened. I heard from a stakeholder today that people can no longer drive to an area that is a recreational area. So the impact has been enormous. So I'm really stunned to hear that you somehow feel that we didn't do our best to communicate when so many agencies and so much intense effort has been put on this situation. So I'm hoping we do have better communication and coordination with the Strawberry Commission, a great opportunity to build upon your resources and your mission and your ability to work with, especially with language barriers. But I'm just kind of confused by why your awareness of this took a whole year.
We were aware of the situation with the runoff, but we were not aware of the active steps that the regional board was taking as they were going forward in the process. And I can't speak to the certain circumstance, but it did become evident when we found out just recently that there was a breakdown in communication, and that's evidence in the staff report as to the missed opportunities to communicate with a particular grower. And those are conversations that outreach, as a way of facilitating a conversation is something that's very easy for us to do. And in that way, we would like to offer our service. And if we need to be more involved with some of these other state agencies, then I'll take that feedback and we'll continue to do so. But this was, I think we just hadn't heard much follow-up on it. And so we didn't know where it was. And we've had previous meetings with water board staff throughout the year on other projects. And maybe the assumption was that it would have been brought up, as water cooler talk along the way, if it's still being discussed here at the board. So we just didn't realize how far along that this was and that you had pinpointed growers. So that was the point of my comments.
Okay, yeah, that helps a lot, because I know in the timeline it's noted that at our March 2017 meeting, the California Fish and Wildlife brought public comments to us in their update on the situation. So there were many agencies that did take part right from the beginning, our priority is always to work as deeply and fully as we can with the community, the industry organizations, and so I'm hoping that we turn this around and that we our communication efforts are reaching out to the parties that can have an impact on finding the path back to solutions, to remedies, to mitigation, to compliance, and all of the things that we're trying to accomplish here. So I'm pleased that you made time to come today, and I really regret that it's been, in some ways, the communication just didn't occur the way it could have, as you point out.
And in full disclosure, I wasn't with the commission at the time, and I was previously, about 4 years ago, and my title was actually Grower Communication Specialist, mm-hmm. if the irony isn't there. But we will be working more with this group, and you'll probably see my face quite a bit more at your meetings.
Great. I like that. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So I think one last comment from
thank you,
Mr. Young.
Thank you. Mr. Rose, the question is, how does staff generally enforce or ensure compliance with any of the sedimentation erosion control requirements in the irrigated lands program permit? Is it based on waiting for complaints to come in, or does staff do any field work on its own to kind of look for things?
Thank you, Mr. Young. Yeah, generally speaking, our hands are pretty full with 4.0, groundwater monitoring requirements and so on. So the erosion problems and follow-up that we've had have been as a result of complaints in the past year or so. Yeah. And yeah, I would say that these complaints typically increase in frequency following a rain event.
Right, and that I understood from the presentation. I'm just kind of curious whether we have any resource available to maybe go beyond waiting for complaints.
Yeah, that another great question, and I think the answer is yes.
Okay.
And I say that because we have actually Ms. Richter is actually new to the program, backfilling for Elaine Saul, who is now out of the program and left the program. We have two new positions coming into the program that we intend to fill in the next month or two. So I think that we're going to have an increased capacity in the next in the months ahead.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So thank you. And just to wrap up this item, just a couple of comments. First one is associated with communication, and I'm addressing this to staff, with communication with commodity groups or associations, is that in this particular instance, there is a potential of enforcement action, which I think makes the outreach outside of the boundary of the individual party a little more tricky, because there's some legal implications associated with it. I would use the same analogy as, let's say, we have a potential enforcement with a water treatment plant. We don't reach out to the water treatment operators association in this case. So I think there's a difference here. I'm all for, outreach, good communication, but anytime there is an enforcement, just like us right now, we've been counseled by Ms. Jar about the limitation of communication that we should have. So I think for staff to share potential information that may be somewhat confidential to the potential violator, is concerning. The other point I wanted to make, and I would like to have Ms. Brown listen to what I'm going to say. I'm going to share something, Ms. Brown, so I wanted to have your attention back there, is on a very positive note, we all need to remember and recognize that strawberry growers as a commodity in California, and specifically in the Central Coast, are very, very proactive in their research projects and efforts to improve various type of farming practices. To give you an example, as a reminder to all of us, is that the Strawberry Commission spend a significant amount of money in research. I'll take the example of Cal Poly Strawberry Center. And there's several million dollars that They have invested to provide research on irrigation, research on pesticides, research on at UC Davis on genetics associated with various types of strawberries. So, you know, I wanted to share that because, you know, yes, on one hand, maybe there is a little bit of a dark, you know, we had a little shadow there, but I wanted to daylight the fact that, you know, they are doing a very good job, I think, as a whole, as an organization. To supplement that statement is that the State Water Board has provided financial support via a grant to help the Strawberry Commission develop a sustainability certification program, which is quite challenging because, as you know, strawberry is a high-input crop. So I just wanted to, you know, recognize the good work that, you know, the commissioning is doing. So I think speaking on behalf of my colleagues, you know, this is, you know, we have a specific a farmer here that, you know, has an issue, but with the comments and suggestions made by my colleagues associated with, you know, erosion and plastic, et cetera, I'm sure you're going to take this back to the research center and, you know, and address those items. So I just wanted to acknowledge the part of the good work that you folks are doing. So, Mr. Robertson, further comment?
Two closing thoughts. We'll continue with these cases, obviously, and we'll update the board as appropriate. The other comment is I want to underscore the notion that we will be utilizing commodity groups as leverage partners in trying to get to water quality outcomes or be proactive with regards to protection, not just the Strawberry Commission. There's a lot of other opportunities there. So I just want to underscore the value of the commodity groups in our effort.
Okay, so I think unless staff has any further parting comment, we can close this particular item. I think it was very healthy. I would like to thank the two farms representatives from coming here today, and hopefully with the questions and clarification asked, this helps, you know, both of the farms to, you know, get a better understanding of the process and, you know, the due diligence that we have in listening to everyone. So thank you very much. So this closes this particular item. My question now, Mr. Robertson, in terms of order, do we want to continue with item 18 at this time or take a break now? What is your suggestion?
I think we take a break now. I've got it slated to be long enough that I think it's best to take a break now.
Okay. And your suggestion is 60 minutes, and we do not have any closed session.
Correct. We have no closed session.
All right. So we will reconvene at 1 o'clock. Thank you very much.